As old civil rights laws update for the digital age, they're meeting new resistance. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. For many years, banks actively avoided investing in lower-income and minority communities. Decades ago, a federal law attempted to prevent that from happening. Recently, regulators have tried to update the rules to reflect a world of online banking. Now, a ruling by a federal judge in Texas has put those updates, which were supposed to take effect today, on hold. Here's Marketplace's Henry Epp.
The Community Reinvestment Act is supposed to make sure banks give out loans in low and moderate income areas. The law was passed in 1977 after decades of disinvestment in many urban communities. Under the CRA, banks need to show regulators that they're giving out loans to individuals and businesses near their branches, which can result in more lending in areas that might not otherwise get it. Regulators want to update the law to take online and mobile banking into account. Under the new rules, banks would be assessed on how they're serving low-income customers in communities where they provide large numbers of loans, even if those loans are mostly offered online. Banking groups argue the updates go too far and could disincentivize banks from lending in certain areas, and they also say that the agencies proposing the new rules overstepped their authority. The banking groups, along with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, sued in February. The judge's ruling means the new regulations won't take effect while that lawsuit plays out. I'm Henry Epp for Marketplace.
There is not enough water in the Colorado River for people to keep using it as they have been, not with drought, climate change, and population growth. That much is clear. The federal government, 7 southwestern states, and 30 tribal nations are working on long-term agreements on how to divide and conserve that water. One of the main targets for cuts is agriculture. And a recent study in the scientific journal Communications, Earth, and Environment shows just how much of the river's water goes to agriculture compared to use in cities. Marketplace's Savannah Marr has more.
Nearly three quarters of the water diverted from the Colorado River is being used for irrigation, according to the study.
So this is not water that's used for living in the desert, it's for generating money.
Andrew Curley is a professor of geography at the University of Arizona. He says farmers in the basin have over 100 years of legal and physical water infrastructure on their side.
It's been a longstanding project of both the federal government and state governments to use Colorado River for irrigation, for agriculture.
But Curley says they've been allocating water based on faulty science. Now, overuse is catching up with the basin, and drier days are coming. Sarah Porter with the Kyle Center for Water Policy says farms and ranches will have to make painful cuts to their water use.
You're talking about farmers not being able to grow as much, potentially really impacting rural economies.
Porter says officials in the basin are looking for ways to leave water in the system without putting farmers out of business. I'm Savannah Marr for Marketplace.
All right, let's do the numbers. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up in the 3 to 6 tenths% range, with Dow futures up 120 points. The yield on the 10-year Treasury is 4.192%. Some U.S. public school districts are considering closing and consolidating schools due to enrollment declines that accelerated during the COVID-19 pandemic. That's as a new Cato Institute survey shows that 46% of private schools reported increases in their number of students over the 2022-2023 school year. It's all part of a tricky tug of war over student enrollment, and that ultimately impacts district finances. Marketplace's Elizabeth Trovall has more.
4 years after students were sent home from public schools during the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic, the kids are still not all right. Stanford University's Tom Dee.
We observe historic learning loss. There are multiple indicators of serious deterioration in students' mental health. And as they've returned to in-person instruction, we've seen an extraordinary increase in chronic absenteeism.
And some public schools are tackling those challenges as they face budget constraints, as their funding partly depends on the number of students enrolled. There's also the problem of pandemic relief funding drying up in September.
many school districts have been using those federal resources to prop up their budgets during a period of sustained enrollment decline.
Some are even considering closures, which Sophocles Goulis with the Brookings Institution says can be very disruptive.
And the outcomes of these students can vary a lot based on where they land.
But it's not all bad news for public schools. Goulis research shows that some students who left during the pandemic are coming back.
If there will be a recovery, this is how it should start looking like. A stabilization, maybe some weak increase in overall enrollment.
And Miguel Urquiola, an economist with Columbia University, says lots of education funding is not tied to enrollment. However, the migration away from public schools does present another problem.
The people who leave the public sector, they are often, for example, you know, more motivated people or wealthier people. Then there can be a change in sort of the support for public spending.
In other words, they may not want their tax dollars spent on public schools. I'm Elizabeth Troval for Marketplace.
Coming up on Marketplace later today, a look at caregiving for families with children who have severe disabilities. In some cases, states will pay parents to be caregivers. But over the past year, at least 11 states have considered slashing those programs. You can listen on many public radio stations or at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.